Okay, just had a few minor roster moves that we made yesterday. Claimed tackle Dustin Waldron. He's a guy that we actually worked out in the spring this past year during the draft. Dante went out to Portland or a long way away, spent the day with him. So we'll bring him in, put him in the mix and see how he does. Put Jamie Richard on injured reserve, and then we had signed Derek Dennis earlier today prior to practice. So puts the roster at 90. And there's really no other changes in addition to that. So that's where we are today.
Nick, in general, offensive linemen at this time with the rosters at 90, tough to find?
I think, really, there's a lot of players that are still out there. So at this point in the year, you try to go back to your lists, your information that you have on file. Some players you might know – might know better or more intimately than others. A guy like Waldron, just haven't done the workout and spent some time with him. So, you know, you try to put guys in different categories, really across positions. And what we've found in the past is those players that we at least have some degree of contact or some relationship with, you might start with them first and then work your way down. But, I mean, there's such a vast number of players that are out there. You just, I mean, everybody goes through it. You just try to develop your list based on all the information that you have and go from there.
Dennis pre-draft, or was that one that was more?
Yeah, it's, I mean, he's like, I mean, we studied the Temple running back. I mean, they had a number of senior offensive linemen. So when we go into a school, you're really looking at everybody. And so we'll write the report, we'll do the report on everybody that's a senior, that's a starter, and there's going to be some players that don't play. So, I mean, we see a vast number of players during the course of the fall and then on through the spring.
Has it gotten past the point? I mean, is it possible to even sign a guy blind at any point because of the amount of work that you do leading up to the draft and then over the course of the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it really – there's risk involved in any player that you sign. You can maybe mitigate some of that risk with a player that you know a little bit better than others. So, I mean, it's just part of, you know, just doing your homework. And some players you might have a little more information on relative to others. And if there's a player maybe you don't have as much on, then there's ways to find out and discover that information if you need it.
Nick, it's been several years since you've had a contribution from an offensive contribution from the fullback position per se. And now this year you have two, quote-unquote, real fullbacks in camp. But when you decided to go that way, was it a philosophy decision or just the best athlete available, best player available decision or both?
Yeah, I would say with both of those players in particular, they've been effective in their role, you know, for their respective teams. We've had fullbacks in our offense. We haven't had fullbacks in our offense. So, I mean, with that position, like some other positions, you know, in addition to playing the kicking game, you know, that goes back to kind of one thing we talked about the other day, just depth of the roster and being able to do multiple things and multiple facets in the game, whether it's in the kicking game or, you know, offensively or defensively. So, you know, both of those guys are good football players in their respective roles. And, you know, we'll see how they do, you know, once we actually get into a game situation and how they perform in this offense. Yeah, big, long, long arms, athletic, played the ball well, ran well. So, you know, had the season, you know, kind of short change there last year, but he's worked hard, had a pretty good spring, and he's been out there every day, so he's moving in the right direction.
You guys have had some instances in the past couple of years, like guys like Wheatley and Butler who haven't worked out, and you kind of find guys like Arrington and maybe Sterling Moore. Scouting department, does that kind of wash itself away, or do you still look at those misses because of what you invested in the second round picks in terms of time and energy?
Right, I think it's just part of the process. I mean, some players work out, some players don't work out, and there's always a number of reasons why that happens. So in the end, we let the players are going to determine, you know, how it all unfolds based on their performance, and somebody plays better than the other, and that's a guy that's going to end up sticking around regardless of where they come from.
Is it humbling, basically, for lack of a better term, to kind of be wrong so often in the draft? I mean, it's across the board type of thing, or do you just accept it as the way it is?
Yeah, I think the draft process in general, I mean, it's – like I said, there's risk in any player that you acquire, bring into your program, and how it works out. I mean, there's a myriad of reasons why one player works out relative to the other, but you just try to do your homework and move forward, and that's all we're really focused on.
Just on Dowling, so he's 6'1", 210, that's what he's listed
roughly,
at.
Roughly, yeah.
And so, like, watching him in practice on Wednesday night, there was, like, a one-on-one drill where he was covering Stephen Ridley, you know, literally one-on-one. tough matchup, and he's a bigger guy, and Ridley, you know, shook him to make the catch. And I watched it, and it looked like a nice play by Ridley. And then I thought, you know, at that size, do you almost, I don't want to say give him more rope in the assessment when you're watching something like that, because he has a different style of play than maybe, you know, a cornerback with different measurables?
Sure. And it's important not to, you know, we don't really get caught up in evaluating one particular play, but when you have a position, you have a certain skill set and criteria that you're looking for that player to possess, regardless of this defensive back, offensive line, receiver, et cetera. So they're going to have some good plays, they're going to have some bad plays. The most important thing is whether or not you teach them the technique and they apply the technique, and if they can't apply the technique, or maybe one play they do it better than the other, try to figure out, okay, why didn't you do it well? Can you go back? Can you correct it and try to improve upon that? And that's the most important thing, which I'd say is thematic of this camp. You know, we've gone through about a week, 8 days, whatever it may be, kind of started at point A, and we're kind of working our way through camp, trying to improve the techniques and the fundamentals as it relates to your position. And really at this point, you're trying to work at, can you improve, can you correct, and can you have consistency with the performance on a day-to-day basis? And in the end, that's the most important thing.
You said he got shortchanged, but I mean, at the point where he was developing, how promising was it, and how disappointing was it?
I mean, I think he got hurt in camp, so I mean, really couldn't see that much, so it was hard to get, you know, a true evaluation. I mean, it's all we can go off of is kind of, you know, when we evaluated him in the draft.
At that size, the 6'1", 210, how does that help him? Like, where is that an advantage for him over them?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the league, there's a lot of bigger corners that are playing. Cromartie, I mean, there's a lot of players that are long. Their length, you know, Sean Smith down in Miami, I mean, 6'3", 6'4". So part of that is you're playing against some bigger receivers. So there's a size element that comes into play. So is it perfect? No, but there's different sizes and different types of defensive backs. You know, in the end, their effectiveness is going to be based on how they can actually execute the defense, execute their skill set, and actually go out there and perform at the highest level possible.
That was a question I was going to ask, because despite the fact he was undrafted, Kyle Arrington is a tough guy to overlook, because every time he is on the verge, it seems, of being replaced, or an opportunity arises, whether he's going against taller guys or faster guys or quicker guys, he just matches up. Is there a point where you try and go for a body fit and see if it works? But sometimes the guy who's not the body fit is the better.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever looked at it in terms of body fit. I think you look at the position in general and say, okay, here are the things that position is going to be required to do, or we're going to ask them to do, and can that player do it? Some can do more than others, some do less, but let's say you have three criteria, just for lack of better, and they can do two out of three at a high level. Well, that's fine. You know, if they do all three, then you probably got a pretty good player. Now, if a guy can only do one thing really well, then he better do it at a real high level, and you can help compensate for maybe some of the things that he has a shortcoming or something like that.
With a guy like Kyle, to be just a little specific with him, you look at him and you say, okay, he's kind of short, but he's so strong, he can help mitigate the other things that he might, and he jumps so well.
Yeah, I mean, he's put together well now. I mean, he's some 195 pounds, whatever it may be. I mean, he's maybe a little bit short, but he's strong. He's got good playing speed, very mentally tough. And there's a guy that's really improved from the time that he started here. I mean, he started on the practice squad, and, you know, he's put in a lot of work, and it's really a credit to him and the coaching staff, and that he's been able to make himself into a, you know, pretty good player.
When's that first cut?
I want to say it's the Monday or Tuesday after the third preseason game, like somewhere in that August 24th, 25th, I believe, somewhere. It's after the third game. I don't know the exact date. I mean, I'm not on my calendar right now. So,
are you at a point here where you're starting to try and figure out what other rosters look like? Because with 90, you're going to have a greater outflux of players into the pool. Are you trying to figure out and maybe read the same things that we're reading around the NFL to get a gist of where guys might be?
Yeah, but who's telling the truth? You read half the articles.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. I know you're telling the truth, Tom. But, you know, until everybody has a varying opinion, a different opinion about this guy's having a great camp, but this guy's an all-star. Until they actually go out there in the preseason and play, and then you can actually see him perform. I mean, that's really the best thing that you have to go off of, and that's why during the preseason, the first 2 weeks, we'll track, you know, every roster. And there's some players you might think, okay, they're probably a pretty fair chance that they're going to make it, and some players maybe you're not as certain. and we'll study those players. We kind of put them in different groups and categories because there's going to be a vast amount of players that at different points are going to be released and that become available. So, you know, our scouting, our pro personnel staff will spend a lot of time going through and evaluating those players, doing the write-ups, putting them in our system, and then start to positionally group them so that we get to the final cutdown. If there's a player we like, whether or not we want to claim them, whether we want to sign them, however we want to handle that, then we'll try to be as prepared for that as we can.
We're not going to see you guys on the field nearly as much because you're going to be out of games and scouting.
We'll still be here. Actually, our college scouting staff has been here for the past week, so they're going to leave here today and they'll go out and start to visit the colleges in their summer practice. And the rest of our staff will be here. We'll still be watching our practice, and then once the games start to come in through the system, we'll start to watch the video. So some might be inside, some might be outside. Depends who's got a lot of work to do and who doesn't.
Is trade talk, generally speaking, any more prevalent this time of year than at other points in the calendar?
Yeah, no, I think this time of the year there's always discussions that you have with teams, or some teams might reach out to you, other teams, I'd say it's no different this year than it's been in years past. I mean, could it happen? Yeah. Will it happen? It all depends. I mean, it's a case-by-case basis.
Nick, has there been any change on the Brian Waters situation?
Yeah, no updates there.
More of a bigger picture question, just from your time in the game or even growing up watching the game. Can you think about quarterbacks that have played at a high level into their, mid to late 30s, into the 40s even? Who comes to mind for you?
What are you asking for, my ranking of players? I mean, there's been a lot of good quarterbacks that have...
But, think like Montana late in his career,
I would say at the time when I was growing up, I was more of a fan than anything else, not really studying. I mean, I probably knew more then than I do now about football, but, that's probably subject to some debate. But, no, I mean, Joe Montana was a great player. Marino was a great player. Elway was a good player. Aikman. I mean, those guys are fun to watch. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I was a Cowboys fan growing up for whatever reason, I guess. So, I mean, it was fun to watch the Cowboys. Yeah, so Mr. Kraft probably thrilled to hear that. But, there's been a lot of good players that have played – late in their career. And really, it's just about being able to maintain a certain level of performance. And some can do it longer than others. And it all depends on the individual.
Can you think of, one benchmark, the quarterback that just kept going? I mean, Vinny Testaverde was one. Another one that came to mind who was here.
I'll tell you what. I mean, Vinny was in immaculate shape. I mean, I don't know how old he was when we had him. But it was probably close to 40. But it was great guy. Kept himself in phenomenal shape and could really spin the ball. I mean, it was really impressive to watch. So, that was a guy that we had here in our camp. Even Doug, to a certain extent, he was like a little kid out there. Loved to play football, was in great shape, enjoyed playing, had a great arm. I mean, the guy played 20 years of professional football. I mean, it's really a credit to him. So, those are a couple guys there. I mean, if you had to pick a few.
On the other end of that spectrum, Nick, how is Brian doing in terms of his development? Mallett doing?
I think the quarterbacks, they've done some good things in camp. I think it's been pretty good competition. I know Bill alluded to this the other day. I think the competition between Brian and Ryan has been pretty good. I mean, they've both had their share of good plays. They both had their share of bad plays. I think the most important thing is to try to eliminate the number of bad plays or mental mistakes, whatever it may be. But like I said, last week when we talked, when we get into the preseason, they'll have plenty of opportunity, and then we'll see how they perform in game situations.
Talking about mentoring or guys that can have a really big impact, veteran quarterbacks. Is there anybody, can Tom do that for Ryan, or is that something you don't ask of Tom?
Yeah, I think really there's a fine line between the players focused on trying to improve himself and trying to make sure that he goes out there and performs at an optimum level. But I think that meeting room in general, having been in a few different meeting rooms, I think the communication is good, and I think everybody picks up something from one another. So I think each player is kind of focused on, what they have to do, because if you start worrying about what somebody else is doing, then it takes away from what you're trying to do. So, Tom's obviously got a lot of experience, a veteran, and he's got a lot of knowledge, and I'm sure those guys can glean some information from him.
Person to ask, or maybe Bill would be better, but tomorrow, if players are off, are you off too, or do you not really get the coaches and staff not really get a day off in camp?
Yeah, we're in training camp, so there's plenty to do. So you can ask Bill, I'm sure he'll be forthcoming about that. All right, that's it.
Thanks, guys.